Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Paul Enos and I talk with Mark Johnson, now officially the president of UNR. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Rue Goodnow, Leslie Pittman, and Verita Black Prothro. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
This message.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation. You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program, but now with the official presidential title, President Mark Johnson of UNR. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you very much.
Let me ask you this. You know, I remember when Walter Cronkite retired, they said the toughest job in America was to replace Walter Cronkite. You know, you followed a wonderful man, Milt Glick, and how tough has that been to follow in his footsteps?
Actually, it was not difficult because Milt Glick and I were very, very close. We worked literally 7 days a week together. He selected me to be his number two person at the university, and we were philosophically on the same page in terms of running a very high quality, high standard academic operation, and he included me. So he had the best succession plan of all by including me in the major decisions that he was making, so that when he died very, very suddenly on April 16 last year, I knew the people, I knew the staff well and what the staff was doing. So I really credit Milt for setting me up for a smooth transition at the university.
What has been the toughest day since you took office initially as acting president?
Certainly the toughest day was the day after we learned that Milt died. I shared the experience in the hospital room with Mrs. Glick till about 11:30 on April 16, and then Sunday the 17th, a number of the staff members rallied and came in, and we had to tell all of the supporters of the university and the leadership of the state that Milt had passed. And then the following Monday, then, we all got together and shared our moments about our experiences with Milt and agreed that Milt would want us to carry on for the university. So those were the tough days because we were all suffering emotional drain while understanding our responsibility to keep the university moving.
And at the same time, huge economic problems within the university system, as with the state. What's been the toughest days there, and are we bounding back?
We think we are bounding back. The toughest days were when we went through implementation of the last third round of really large budget reductions last June. And the good part of it is that everyone is now saying that the revenues in the state are leveling off. The governor has made his pronouncement that he is going to plan a budget with extended sunsets on the taxes. So we're getting a sense of relief from the standpoint that the budget is now stable. And throughout all this cutting, because of our strategic approach to the three large cuts, we maintain a tremendous momentum. We're bringing in more students. We have a higher graduation rate, more national merits, more competitive grant dollars. So throughout the bad times, we have maintained a momentum. Now we get the message that the budget's stabilizing at this new lower level, and I think we can make that momentum continue.
Now, some of the things that happen during these tough economic times is you have to think outside the box. You have to figure out how are we going to meet the needs of our students, help our faculty mm-hmm. do what they need to do with limited resources and limited dollars. Is there something you can take away from that experience that you think makes the University of Nevada a better university after having gone through these economic times?
It's very difficult to say that you can lose $75 million in annual state budget and become better. What we can say is that because of our strategic approach to budget cutting, we didn't just cut across the board. That ruins all programs, but we strategically cut programs, reduced programs, and maintained those that were drawing the most students, doing the most research, doing the most outreach to the community. And by saving and preserving those programs, we've maintained this momentum in a tough time. So the lesson is a real reinforcement to cut strategically, preserve strategically, so that you can maintain that momentum.
Now, I think it was last week, there was a town hall meeting with the Reno Gazette Journal where we talked about how the university and how the education system can help assist in economic development. You and I had a great conversation mm-hmm. after that meeting about science-based regulations and how they impact mm-hmm. business. Can you tell our viewers what you envisioned the university being able to do with that?
Certainly. When regulation is based on science, and what that means is you create hypotheses about what regulation might do, and then you actually get some data to see if that's anticipated to have the effect that you would expect. Then you can have regulations that make sense. They can protect the public for food safety and the like without stymieing industry.
And you had a great example of what you were able to do as dean of the University of Agriculture in Kansas.
Yes, in Kansas we had a lot of livestock production, and the state regulatory body, environmental regulatory body, marked off 8 counties for which there could be no new livestock production facilities built. We did this research that showed that if you had a lagoon to handle livestock waste materials that's at least 15 feet above the water table, you could use a sod liner in the lagoon and the water table would be protected. If you wanted to build a facility less than 15 feet from the water table, then you had to put in a plastic liner. So the science allowed the regulatory agency to take away the restriction for development of activity in the 8 counties and put in the restriction based on the distance of the farm from the water table.
So having that
science-based regulation.
Absolutely. Having that kind of model, do you anticipate the university now getting more involved in the legislative process and the regulatory process as far as saying, hey, we are going to be the independent authority to handle the research and be able to give the decision makers that quantitative data so they can make hopefully better decisions?
Mm-hmm. We'd be very happy to be in that business. And what gave us credibility in those studies was that we stayed out of the politics and only did the science. The regulatory agencies asked us to do the science. We gave them the results and they made the policies.
And that's where we have to take a break, and we'll be right back with more with Mark Johnson after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the permanent president of UNR, Mark Johnson. Let's talk about the new budget formula that the chancellor has come up with. Mm-hmm. Will this help or will this hurt? And what I mean by that is, you know, I've known for many years that because UNR is an older campus, you have older buildings, you have all kinds of facility issues that are not necessarily present at UNLV. How is the budget going to affect you in those kind of areas?
Well, all of the institutions are backing the chancellor's proposal for the formula fund. And there are important trade-offs in it. Not every element is positive for the University of Nevada, Reno, but on balance, it's good for us. The most important element of the formula is the fact that there is a proposal that each campus can keep the tuition and fees generated on the campus, which gives us an opportunity then on our own initiative to recruit and grow the number of students and do what state policy wants, create more graduates, and make up for some of the revenue losses we'll get through the state fund redistribution.
So is this going to make it very much more competitive, certainly within state? Will you be looking for more out-of-state students and more foreign students?
We already are very competitive in state. We've got more than 2,600 Clark County students on our campus today. And our new student body president is from Clark County. So we're very competitive, and I have to say that the two universities are quite complementary. We're both broad arts and sciences universities, but they have specializations like architecture, dentistry, law school, hospitality, and we have specialties in mining, environmental sciences, landscape-wide environmental sciences, agriculture, etc. So students can choose which university to go to based on their real interest.
Recently, the U.S. News and World Report, which ranks high schools and colleges and universities, mm-hmm. put Nevada in the top tier. Mm-hmm. What does that mean as far as the tier system goes? And then what does it mean as far as the University of Nevada's ability to attract students here?
Oh, it's a great marketing device to be in a tier one school. According to U.S. News and World Report, this year we got into the top 100 public universities in the country. And people see that. Parents see that. They want to come to a school that has a good reputation. When it gives us an ability to attract more broadly in the entire West, as well as attract those students who really want to use their intellect and push themselves as far as they can in their education.
One of the things that's come out recently, and I don't want you to talk about this personally, but talk about it in the broad scheme of things, is donor pressure. People donate money to the universities. Mm-hmm. What kind of pressure do universities and presidents receive in terms of people who are donating to institutions?
You know, what I really like about the donors in this area, and we have some excellent foundations in this area that have been so supportive of the university, is that the donors come to us and say, what are the priorities of the university? What is the vision of the leadership and the faculty? And then they say, okay, then that's how we want to help you. So you can take many of the foundations here, and they will meet with us regularly, not to push us, but to say, what do you need to make this a better university? and then they give to those causes.
Do you ever feel that there's negative pressure in terms of somebody saying, if you don't do this, I'm not going to donate?
I've had that in the past. I've not experienced it here in Nevada. I have in other states, and sometimes we have to turn down gifts because they don't meet the mission of the institution, and I have done that.
All right, President Johnson, 2013, next legislative session, you talked about the universities trying to keep their own money as far as what they raise in tuition. What do you think are going to be the next challenges this legislative session, upcoming legislative session?
It will be two things primarily. One is what the new formula for higher education is going to be, and the formula only distributes the state money to higher education between the eight institutions, and then overall support for the universities through capital improvement funding and other sorts of funding. It's very important to us that the governor, as he's constructing his budget, put some emphasis on restoring the salaries of the people that are working at the university. That means doing away with pay cuts, doing away with furloughs, so that we can support the faculty and staff that have contributed so greatly to maintaining the momentum of the university during a very difficult time. So our priority, the whole priority of the NSHE, Nevada System of Higher Education, is to restore salaries.
And that's where we have to leave it. You are welcome anytime on this program. Congratulations on being named official president of UNR. Pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating 40 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $19.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
With all the uncertainty around healthcare, if you don't have health insurance through your work, now is a good time to find an individual plan that makes sense for your needs and budget from a name you can trust, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For example, Kristen just started her own business.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield helped me compare plans, and my personal doctor was in their large network. And when I needed surgery later, I didn't worry about my savings or my bottom line.
Or take George, who retired early and chose a plan that covers prescriptions.
I had a little health scare recently. My doctor ran some tests and changed my prescription, and now I'm back in the game.
With Caitlin's busy life, she needed coverage she could count on with preventive care.
Because with kids, you never know what will happen.
If you're looking for individual health coverage that makes sense, join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
For a free rate quote, contact your local agent. Call 1-866-771-0119 or visit us online at anthemforme.com.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating 40 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $19.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always, and they're all fired up here. Rugu now is here. He's an attorney with Parsons, Bailey, and Latimer. Leslie Pittman is principal with Sierra Strategies, and Farida Black-Prothrow is business development manager for Nevada Arrhythmia Services. Pleasure to have you all here. So you were actually on the street with President Obama when he was visiting.
I was.
What were your thoughts?
You know, it was really a good event. It was a very small event. Only the people who...
In what way?
Only the people who lived on the street were invited. And there were people there who were not supporters. And when he started talking about this plan and how it would impact their lives, I think he changed some minds.
But not the homeowner who got their house refinanced, which was kind of bizarre.
That program, the HEART programs, had a very small impact. In terms of numbers of people taking advantage of it. So I think, you know, that to that extent, it really wasn't a major topic of interest. But it is important when the President of the United States comes to your town, you need to pay attention to it, listen to what they say, and keep an open mind. I mean, it's they're an important person.
Leslie, what's a president got to do? He comes to your house, you've gotten your house refinanced by a program that he was responsible for, he admires your backyard and your barbecue, and afterward you tell Ray Hager from the Reno Gazette Journal you're still sitting on the fence.
Well, I think it's probably a testament to the fact that those folks probably want to learn a little bit more about presumptive nominee Mitt Romney. It's early on in the battle, and I'm sure that will weigh heavily in their decision making in terms of having certainly a personal visit by the President of the United States. But I don't see anything wrong with them taking more time to get to know who his potential opponent is going to be.
Rue, the big story on the Sunday talk shows this past weekend was the same-sex marriage story, and there's now talk of overturning the law that was passed in Nevada. Where do you think that this might go?
I don't think it's going to get very far here. NPR is running a story this morning which really interested me because it focused on the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church USA, and I'm a member of that church and served on its governing body here locally when we were going through this debate. And it's an easy, very crystallized debate that people can, decide whether they're in favor of or against. It's not complicated like the, mortgage refinancing issue. But I just don't think there's the support to go through the long process to overturn that.
Brady, your thoughts?
Sam, I'm very uncomfortable with people voting about people's civil rights, and I see it as a civil rights issue. I am very uncomfortable with that, and I think I posted on my Facebook page that if there was a referendum in all 50 states today about African American suffrage, at least 10 states would ban it. At least 10. And so I just have issues with voting on civil rights. I'd like to see something from a federal issue that deals with this as a constitutional issue and not a biblical one.
It's interesting. George Flint, who heads up the marriage chapels in northern Nevada, at least.
Among
other things. said that, we're missing out. That if Nevada, which is the party capital of the world, we used to be the divorce capital of the world here in Reno. We were the wedding chapel capital of the world. Who better to put on gay weddings than Nevada? And we're missing out on a big business opportunity.
Well, that's probably, I think that has some merit. That statement certainly has some merit. I do think, however, though, how do you overturn a constitutional amendment that was passed?
Slowly.
That is slowly. And, this is indicative of the same sort of battle we go through on a perennial basis on the abortion issue. And it's, you have folks that keep coming back. It's a divide in our country, most definitely. But I do think we are seeing some progress on the civil rights issues associated with, why do I care? I have to agree with Senator Reid on this. Doesn't impact me whether somebody gets married to someone with the same sex or the opposite sex whatsoever. So I think it's a struggle that our nation's going to continue to have, and it's going to continue to be a polarizing issue at the ballot box, most definitely, because people are locked. They're pretty solidly in their corners. But I do think, to that end, there is some progress being made.
The Electoral College map kind of changed with North Carolina voting the way that they did on this particular issue. Do you think that this is going to end up in November being a big issue, or is this going to go away fairly rapidly?
It seems to be an election year issue, and I think it was chosen for that reason. In fact, I noticed that they were talking about moving the Democratic National Convention because of this issue.
From North Carolina?
Yes.
But that's not going to happen.
I don't think so. But the fact that they're talking about it means that it's a real political issue and it's really not going away.
Brady, you want the last word on this?
I don't know that it's going to have as much of a bearing in North Carolina, especially among African Americans. We look at California, for instance, that Prop 8 was a huge issue there, and he still got 90% with African American voters. He still got 90% African American support in California the same year. So I don't think that it's going to have the same that it's going to have a huge impact with African-American voters that I've heard pundits discussing.
How do you feel, Leslie, about the Hispanic voters? You've got a lot of Roma Catholics, staunch Roma Catholics. Mm-hmm. This is also a big issue for them, and this is a group that Obama needs to win.
Yeah, I, there's some speculation that the president was pretty much forced out on this issue, no pun intended, in the public realm to take a position by statements made by the vice president. I don't think it does.
Do you really believe that?
I mean,
is there anything that happens in a presidential campaign? Arnie Duncan the next day on Monday came out. They had the press conference with Jay Carney on Tuesday. By Wednesday, the president was on board.
Well, you know, the vice president likes to speak out of turn sometimes as well. He's got a history of that.
And that would apparently be the apology.
Nevertheless, I don't think it serves the president well in terms of garnering additional support for his reelection. I think the folks who are against same-sex marriage, it's going to be polarizing for them and drive them over to Mitt Romney's if they were over to his camp, if they were even on the fence. He may lose some voters in the Hispanic community because their religious affiliation comes first and politics comes second. So, I think he will lose some folks.
I think for people who this was their big single issue, they weren't going to vote for him anyway.
Yeah.
I just wondered if it had more to do with the VAWA issue, because it's been a part of the Senate version of the VAWA bill.
What is that?
The Violence Against Women Act. And I just wondered if that had something, if it was he was taking the public's temperature on the issue.
All right, and that's where we've got to leave it, and we'll take our own temperature. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Is your child happy in school? Is the pace too fast or too slow? Does your child need a more flexible or individualized approach? Some children simply thrive in a different kind of classroom. That's why you have another public school choice. Online learning from K-12, a full-time alternative to the traditional classroom, available as a tuition-free public school option. K-12 powers accredited public schools that bring learning to life for students grades K through 12. Call now for your free information kit to learn how K-12 could be the best option for your child. Parents and teachers enthusiastically endorse it.
I made a switch to online learning because I saw results. I just saw a blossoming of kids' excitement for education.
Our state-certified teachers customize lesson plans, organize field trips, and guide learning. Kids work at the level and pace just right for them, without classroom distractions. With K-12, you get teacher support, books, school supplies, and materials for experiments, all included. And in most cases, the program is tuition-free.
You'll hear from every person that ever works with K-12 curriculum that it is top-notch.
In fact, 92% of K-12 parents are satisfied their student benefits academically. As a full-time public school option or to purchase supplemental courses, think K-12.
The ability to have the online school and still be part of a public school system is priceless.
Call now or go online for your free information kit. See how K-12 can be the right choice for your child.
Now accepting enrollments for Reno area students in grades K through 12. Call K-12 today for your free information kit or go online to learn more.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, Commercial Entrepreneurs, the Marmot Company, right here. I'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.